Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, another very interesting mind experiment coming at the top of the show, and then LeVar Ball, who's crazy, but strangely insightful. So that's coming up at the top of the show. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. October's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Remember, if you connect it, protect it, take proactive steps to enhance your cybersecurity. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our information at risk on the internet. You could miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. So protect yourself. It's almost 2021, people. Protect your identity with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, LeVar Ball and Marianne Williamson, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. Those stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Yes.
Yes. A lot of range in the show today. LeVar Ball and Marianne Williamson.
All the range.
I wonder if they know each other.
I'm sure they run in the same circles. LeVar, obviously the patriarch, to the Ball. I mean, his youngest son is going to go first in the draft, NBA draft coming up next. And he is in Australia, and he's a baller, and he never went to college. And then, of course, his other two sons, one just missed the Lakers championship because I got traded last year from the Lakers to the Pelicans. But anyway, an interesting story. And LeVar Ball evidently grew up in the San Fernando Valley, obviously a standout athlete, and went to Canoga Park High, home of the Hunters. They're probably
interesting.
They've probably been downgraded to Gatherers now. Like, Hunters a little aggressive, but their mascot was a guy wearing a coonskin cap with a gun.
No, it's a guy with a bonnet and a basket.
That's right. It's like a maypole and a girl in a basket. So
did you guys have played against each other in some form of football?
No, we just missed each other. I'm a little bit older than LeVar is, but when I was in high school, the championship years, the teams that went to the Coliseum to play the championship game, I think 2 years that I played varsity, they're both years Canoga Park went to the championship, and I think they won, but I don't know. But if you look down, and we won't get into it this second, but if you ever look at my all valley roster, and you would be forced to look at it if you talked to me for more than 8 seconds. A lot of it was littered with Canoga Park guys because when you're
a powerhouse,
I was the only player on my entire team to make the All Valley offensive unit, but Canoga Park had four guys on the offensive side of the ball, and probably four or five guys on the defensive side of the ball as well. So it was heavily populated with Canoga Park players. North Hollywood, not so much.
Well, to be fair, there's not a lot to do in Canoga Park.
That's true. So, Hunt, evidently.
Right.
They can't still be called the Hunters, or they must have been downgraded. Anyway, so we'll talk to LeVar, because it is interesting, and Brian kind of knows the vibe, and Gina knows it too, but Brian, think with a little head towards sports. When you,
I know more of the TMZ angle.
Yeah, when you get
LeVar might be enough.
When you get to high school, if a year before you got there or 2 years before you got there, like the team was a championship team, like the football team was a powerhouse, you kind of know it. You know some of the names. You'll see some pictures and some trophies, and it becomes a little lore. You know what I mean? Right. So maybe he remembers those guys, or maybe his team was a championship team. I mean, I didn't pay any attention after I graduated, but obviously Canoga Park was still rolling along, and LeVar probably was on those teams.
Well, but Adam,
Gina, hold on. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
No, by all means.
I was to that point, Adam, I still remember some of the names of the guys who were four or five guys I never really met, but I just knew the name because they were stud athletes who won like titles.
Right.
Gina. Sorry, Gina.
Well, no, and to that point, I absolutely understand. I was there, too. I remember in eighth grade, I knew that Laura Swanson was playing Guinevere in Camelot. It was a little out of reach for a freshman, but I knew if I worked really hard, I would
get your name on that banner, too.
And again, in Annie as a senior, because I was. And I knew I had something to work for because I knew who was in Camelot and Carousel the year before.
See?
I was just picturing Dr.
Drew. Universal experience.
Yelling. Halfway into that. No.
Oklahoma. Don't you mean Oklahoma?
Right.
You said sparked a memory. Did you ever get a chance to play at the Coliseum or some very cool venue like the Rose Bowl or something?
When I was in the 10th grade and I played like B-team baseball my first year, because I only went to high school for 3 years, the senior team that year played Sylmar High at Dodger Stadium for the championship.
Wow. Nice.
And they lost to Dodger Stadium in the championship. But a young, plucky, nubile young athlete who played for Crenshaw and who pitched for Crenshaw High against us, meaning North Hollywood High, and we actually beat them. So they played the early consolation game at Dodger Stadium, was one Daryl Strawberry.
Damn.
Wow.
And Daryl Strawberry hit a dinger.
It's still going?
Imagine, in terms of being a pro prospect, you have played exactly one game in a pro field at Dodger Stadium. Played one game at Dodger Stadium in high school. You hit a home run.
That's pretty badass.
It's pretty badass for a 17-year-old. Like that you got some fucking pop in your bat if you're hitting one out of Dodger Stadium in high school. So that was Daryl Strawberry. That's about all I got. I attended the game, and of course we lost. Ah. And that's about all I got.
I was a marginal high school athlete, marginal at best on my best days. However, my junior varsity team that I was playing on got a chance to play a couple games at Kezar Stadium in San Francisco against, I guess, St. Ignatius or one of those city schools. It was fucking badass. We got to like come out of the tunnel. You know, the Niners came out of it back in the 60s or whatever it was. Like, it was very cool. It was the highlight of my athletic career, playing the game from the bench in Kezar Stadium.
I was selected to be one of the like representatives to go to the Dallas Cowboy training facility in, wasn't El Segundo. I can't remember. The Dallas Cowboys used to come out here.
Yeah, in the LA area.
Yeah, and train every year back with
Hawthorne or something, or am I
I can think of it, but I can't think of it, but I'll know it when I hear it. But they used to come out here, and they had some sort of program where the best high school players from each team, you know, in the Valley or whatever, could go there and essentially like have lunch with the Dallas Cowboys and like watch them scrimmage. And like, I don't know, Danny White was the coach, and I think Tom, God, what am I thinking of his last name? The coach, Tom Landry. Yeah, Landry was the coach. Like all those guys, all those guys from back then, those championship, like sort of
America's
Dallas
team.
Cowboy, early 80s, you know, late 70s, early Randy White, all those, not Randy Wang, Randy White, Gina.
Wait, they're different?
Eh.
Tony Dorsett would have been part of those
teams? They're all those guys. all those guys, Drew Hill or Calvin Hill, or I'm trying to think of Dupree, you know, all those dudes were all there. And it was, of course, a thrill to go there and then like have lunch with them. And
wait, you went?
Yeah, I went because I was chosen as a.
Oh, I was going to say this didn't require like a ride or money from your parents, because how would you have gone?
And Too Tall Jones?
My parents didn't know. As far as I know, I was selected, and the van was leaving the parking lot at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning or whatever
that
was.
The story adds up again.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. We'll get back to that in a second. I had an interesting thought. So I stepped out this morning. It's been warm, but it's starting to cool off at night. At a certain point, no matter how hot it is during the day, it can't really hold back the night. The night still gets cooler just because as we start to get to the end of October, it's like, what are you going to do, Earth? So I stepped out of my backyard this morning. It was about 8:15, 8:30, and noticed for the first time a steam was coming out of my mouth. So I thought I should get in that swimming pool. So I took my plunge in the swimming pool, which was colder than normal, but not its normal degrees when it gets really cold. And then I dried off, and I made a note of it. I was like, well, steam's coming out of my mouth for the first time. I've not seen my breath in the morning around here for 6 months. Now I'm seeing it. Now it's going to start getting cool, and now I got to start thinking about getting into that pool. And I walked in my office. I opened my computer, and someone had tweeted me a story about cold plunges that I thought I'd share with you, but then it triggered a bunch of other thoughts that we're going to sort of pile in on in a second. But you can go ahead and read the headline. It's really the headline, the first paragraph.
Cold water swimming could delay dementia, research suggests. Cold water swimming could help delay neurodegenerative diseases such as dementia, research has suggested. Academics at Cambridge University found that many of the cold water swimmers they monitored at Parliament Hill, Lido in London between 2016 and 2018 had increased levels of a, quote, cold shock protein, RBM3, which a 2015 study on mice showed offered protection against the onset of dementia.
Yeah, now my first impulse was like, well, wait a minute. Are these people that take cold water plunges versus guys who binge watch Love Boat and slam fentanyl? Like, because that's going to be a different group. And no, they were comparing it to people, I think, that did Tai Chi. So you're doing something mindful, like you're health oriented, you're body oriented, you're doing something mindful, but it's 75 degrees and there's no fluctuation. You know, you're not getting the freezing cold. And then, so I started thinking about it. And then, as per usual, I was trying to sort of weave it into a pattern. And I realized the most we get out of life is the diversity. So, you know, Dr. Drew always said a million years ago, like, how much stronger a mutt is than a purebred, you know, the diversity.
Just think about the royals from how many hundreds of years ago. They're all fucking inbred, and they got hemophilia.
Right. So diversity.
Kansas City?
Try George Brett.
Diversity.
Saber hanging?
Oh, look at you. Wow. So diversity is what I was thinking about. And then I thought, okay, we've been talking about and learning about diversity as it pertains to your gut, your bowel, and what you're exposing yourself to. And, of course, all these stories coming out that Amish kids aren't allergic to anything because they're exposed to animals and dirt and they roll around. And the kids that live in the penthouse in Manhattan have these super high levels of these allergies and, you know, peanut allergies and gluten. And also, oh, hay fever and stuff like that. Like, oh, so of course I've been a broken record with, instead of bathing your kid with Purell, expose them to stuff, show them some dirt, let the system work, let your system exercise, let it push it. It needs, so, and I'll let you in a second, Brian. Our entire life is really built around resistance training. you send the astronauts go to the moon, they lose all their muscle. There's no weights. We have to come up with ways. I mean, it's a serious issue. If you're going to be in the space station for 6 months, we have to invent something so you won't wither on
something
the vine, right? Right. Yeah. And then we all understand that there's sort of a mental version of it. Like, I need a worthy adversary to play chess with me, not some junior high kid. I need someone who's good so I can challenge myself, you know? So, and your system needs that. And then I started thinking, well, what's the difference? You know, we understand the mental part. We understand the physical. We understand the resistance training for muscles. Everyone, well, the more weight, the more resistance, the more positively you react. And then we're starting to learn it about the gut and all the microbes and microbacteria. But I thought, what about just in general your system? And here's what I've been saying it, but not tapping into it. I keep saying, oh, where everyone's just sitting in a cubicle and it's 72 degrees. It's 72 degrees. And everyone gets out of their air-conditioned car and gets into the air-conditioned cubicle and goes back to their air-conditioned condo. And then they go into the store and it's all just one temperature. So your body isn't really asked to do much to regulate that because we don't need it. But think about what your body does when you drop it into a freezing cold body of water.
I mean, guys.
Right. Every part, I mean, if you do it volitionally, fine. But anyone has ever been to a pool party, not a pool party, but just like a high school party, and had some doofus friend like my buddy Ray just push you into the pool, you know, in winter. It's like your body just goes into full heart attack mode. It's like it turns red. Everything is working. Like it's immediately every part of your body is awoken.
And you're literally working harder to breathe.
Right.
Yes.
And also,
yes, you are.
So think about then going out and it's 107 degrees and you're hiking. Think about what your body is doing to stave off this 107 degrees as you hike up this hill. It's every bit of it is pushing out sweat and, you know, every bit is alert. Every bit is activated is what I'm saying. And I've long said to you guys, how come all the guys I work with who sort of work outside seem even? They're not moody. They don't have a lot of sick days.
Existential crises.
Not a lot of that. Not a lot of, remember I always said they're not allergic to anything. All the guys that just work, they just work, you know? And it's like, because when you work outside, your body is constantly regulating the environment. It's, you know, the other day, the guys I speak of were on the roof of this building. It was 114 degrees out there. Like they not only did their bodies have to work, but their mind had to work. You know, they had to pop up little tents and shade and show up at 6 and knock off at 2 and all kinds of stuff. So what about taking your body? And again, the resistance part we understand with the weights, but throwing yourself in a pool or taking a hike on 110 degree day. Think what your body's doing. It's global, man. Like every part of your body is working on that. And maybe all the regulated environment, maybe the temperature, literally the temperature, literally think about what your body has to do. If you work in a professional world, your car's parked in a garage. It's got the temperature control. You set it for 70 degrees. It's got the seat warmer, the seat breather, whatever. You drive along, you pull into the underground parking, you get in the elevator, you go up to the office, back down, climb into the Mercedes, go home, the condo. What has your body seen that day?
It's very comfortable.
Nothing.
What kind of workout has your system got? What has it had to fight against or push against?
Your system is probably quite literally asleep the entire time.
Brian, I cut you off 5 minutes ago.
That's okay. I have so many thoughts. Number one, I probably haven't mentioned this in 3.5 years when it actually happened, but we took Tessa to one of her first doctor's appointments where she was an infant, a few months old. And of course, one of her questions, first time parents, like, what do we do about, you know, peanuts? We obviously don't want her to have a peanut allergy, but blah, blah, blah. Doctor's like, give her peanut butter right away. As soon as she's ready to eat solid foods, make peanut butter one of the things you feed her. It's one of her favorite foods now. She eats it all the time. She's obsessed. She can't bring it to school because obviously some kids do have the peanut allergy, but at least the doctors have sort of caught on. The doctor was like, yeah, let her play in the dirt. Let her eat peanut butter. In fact, give it to her as soon as she can have solid foods. So we started doing that at whatever 8 months old or whatever it was. Number two, yes, I did the cold plunge at your house, Adam, and it was the first time I'd done it. My muscles, not being a very strong guy, my muscles kind of seized up a little bit, but I was alert. Like, it's hard to describe how alert I was, like hyper aware of the feeling, the sensation, but also just very awake. And not that I was sleepy, but it's hard to describe, but it was a hyper, like, sensitive to the world. Like, wow, I got to get out of here.
Well, maybe the Turkish and the Russians and the Koreans all know something and have known it much longer than we have, because they're famous for their spas, you know, like the Turkish bathhouses, right? And it's all about going back and forth between hot temperature and cold temperature, and you think nothing of it. And I think you're absolutely right. The alertness, it is, even if I'm at work or whatever, if you're working on something and it's a little warm and you had a great night's sleep and you whatever, you can't help but just like start nodding off for no reason, because your body is just so comfortable. Mm-hmm. And when it's just a little uncomfortable, you're absolutely right about that alertness.
Yeah. So I think the moral of the story is, when you think about resistance, and everyone gets the resistance part of the workout, you know, it's a, you know, when you take the treadmill and you put it up on an incline, it's a much different workout than when it's flat. Start thinking about that with your gut and your diet and what you ingest and what you expose yourself to. But think about it in terms of your regulation. Like, if you think about a sort of globally what your body does, the one thing your body never stops doing is regulating its temperature. Mm-hmm. It's a constant, mm-hmm. you know, we've all woken up in the middle of the night like, oh, I'm covered with sweat. Oh, the heater was on. And the thing, like, your body,
it wants to be in stasis.
Right.
Like, it wants to be in a level.
Right. And so I think the problem is we go, we want it to be in stasis. We want it. That's where it wants to be. And we go, okay. So the mistake we've made is we go, here it is. We'll give it to you. Every place will have air conditioning or heat. Every house is going to have the Nest. And you just set the Nest thermostat for 72, and that's just it. But what kind of workout then are you getting? And so we're now at the point where you got to throw yourself in the pool or the cold shower, or, you know, take a sauna and then jump into the cold shower. But either way, I would bet, if you took people and did that, it was so funny, because I was talking to Tommy Lee the other day on this show, and his what's his wife's
Brittany
name?
Brittany.
I talked to that gal about 6 months ago, and I was like, she's having, you know, anxiety issues and this issues and that issues. Like, we tried medication. I was like, do you have a pool in your house? He's like, yes. I was like, every morning, throw yourself in that pool every morning and get back to me in a week. Do 1 week of that, 1 week, and tell me what it does for you. That she never did it. But the point is if you took somebody and whatever state they were in, and for 1 week said, every day you take a 15-minute sauna, and then after that, you jump into a freezing cold swimming pool, I just got to believe that that person's mood and affect at the end of that week would be much different and better than what it was at the start. And it's kind of free. I mean, it doesn't take, and it's also the plunge. I mean, you got to have a pool, but you can do a cold shower. The plunge is all of 3 minutes. When people get into like the 90-minute yoga class or the meditation or the Tai Chi or something, I get it. It can be a little laborious, a little
time-consuming. It's suddenly discouraging.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to go back after doing that for a few days.
Right. All right. Something to think about. Yeah. Now, on another note, I was watching The Love Boat last night.
You don't say.
That's the greatest when I come home. I now take pictures of shit that's going on the Love Boat, and I just forward it to Dr. Drew because he's so obsessed.
With no caption. Yeah,
no commentary. Yeah. No commentary.
Well, you don't really need it, because I first, Dr. Bricker. I'm amazed at Dr. Bricker, because Dr. Bricker is the Chip's doctor, and he's in uniform. And I don't know where Chris went, Dawson, but the first one is just, put him in order. Sorry. He does beer. Sorry. I'll show you the picture. He does beer during the day. During the day, Dr. Bricker, the ship's doctor, hangs at the bar with Isaac with a cold one.
He's got to stay loose.
He's not in his office. Like, if you got sunburn or a rash or stung by jellyfish, you wouldn't find the doc in his office. You got to head up to the Lido deck.
Right.
He's pounding some cold ones with Isaac, the bartender. So he's just holding a glass and they're drinking some beer. And then by night, Vinny would be proud. He switches to scotch.
Oh, sure.
So
that's a full
in his formal
one.
Wear and his bow tie.
He puts his formal wear on and he moves to a double highball with scotch. And I just send these pictures to Drew all fucking night because he just marvels his head. The notion that a physician could just hang out and drink openly. I get having a nip off the flask, like, you know, in a lifeboat. He's just a peacock of alcoholism. It's just pictured him like, all right, I'll make mine a double, Isaac.
Oh, no, finish what you were saying, sorry.
It's also funny, like, the captain will come by and be like, all right, Adam, don't tilt too many. There's a lot of fine ladies over here. And it's like, he doesn't even care if the captain's there.
Now that we've been on a number of cruises, what do we find harder to believe? The drinking doctor openly and ample, or the fact that there is a bartender?
All right.
Oh, yeah.
There are 500 bartenders on the cruise as we go on.
There's also a great, the other one, too, is there's a little 10-second clip where he's sitting poolside trying to counsel Vicky. And the joke is he's saying to young Vicky that I know you're young and you have a crush on whoever the talent is. Oh, Rex Smith, Gina Grad. No?
Hold on.
Oh, you don't know Rex Smith?
No.
Oh, I was like Pirates of the Penzance and stuff. Jesus Christ. I thought this was going to be right up your alley.
Oh, I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
She's still thinking about Brett Saberhagen.
He was in the Broadway musical of Grease. But God, he's not a household name. I got to get familiar.
Ugh. Oh, Gina, he's a household name for you if you're one of them fruit flies who loves all the musicals and whatnot.
Well, you know I do.
Oh, Rex Smith was like Pirates and Grease. And
he was the very model of a modern major general. He is information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. He knows the sites of England. He quotes the sites historical with Marathon and Waterloo and orders categorical. He's very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. He understands equations both simple and quadratical about binomial theorems. He's teeming with a lot of news and many cheerful facts about the square, the hypotenuse. He's very good at integral and differential calculus and short and something something being animalculus and short matters vegetable, animal, and mineral. He is the very model of modern major general.
Bet you LeVar Ball couldn't do half of that. We'll have him on in 10 minutes.
Barely.
He might get through the first couple stanzas, but wait a minute. Rex Smith, first off, he's a hunk.
Hot.
He's hot.
Yeah.
He was Pirates. Wasn't he Pirates, too? I mean, he was a big Broadway. Anyway,
yeah,
all right.
He was Pirates.
Wow.
Gina, there's only three guys I know from Broadway, and Rex is one of them.
I'm going to bone up immediately.
One of them's David Allen Greer.
That's right. That's right. So she's got a crush on Rex Smith, who, of course, is not interested in her, but...
Well, she's seven.
The doc...
A whole other episode.
And she's doing that thing they used to do in many of these sitcom-y things from the 70s, 80s. She's like, well, maybe if I had a bigger bust. You know, it's like if my bust line... It's creepy. It's like... It's like 12-year-old girl going, I don't have, if I had more of a bust, blah, blah, blah. He had a top 10 hit. Oh, you take my breath away. All right. Anyway, here's the doc. So here's the comedy. The doc is counseling young Vicky, and he's saying, don't worry, Vicky. Men aren't just interested in a bust line. I like what's in their head. And then, of course, super hot chick walks up with the bust, and you can take it from there.
Vivian. Well, I guess we better be off.
Well, we're going to go down to your cabin.
Aren't we going down to your cabin?
Ho, ho.
It's crazy. They put this on TV.
That's how he counseled the young girl.
Super hot, busty blonde shows up. By the way, who are these women? Like, just smoke show 25-year-olds, like, hitting on 48-year-old docs. And he's like going, well, let's go for a stroll on the deck. And she's like, I thought we were going to your cabin to fuck.
Fucking to waste my time.
He's drinking. He's carousing. What the? And you know what Drew always says? what Drew always says is, and we all just watch and went, yeah, there you go. That's how our, that's where our society was.
You went along with it.
If you want to, well, that's kind of, it's sort of like two drinking fountains in Alabama, 1951. Like, yeah.
You accepted the premise.
Yeah, people just walk past them. Yeah. No, people didn't stop and go, that's what's going on? This is insane. Right. How's this going to, no, it's like, yeah, there you go. That's what Doc does. He hits on chicks on the boat while he's drinking. But he doesn't drink the scotch, to defend the doctor, he rarely drinks the scotch during the day.
Right.
He stays
he's not an animal.
He stays on the beer. You know, while the sun is shining, and then later on, he makes the move to the sky.
You know what the debaucherous Dr. Drew does on cruises? Plays Jenga with us.
Right.
With a Diet Coke.
Jesus H. Christ. All right, let me hit Bruce over here. Dentist quality clean at home. Bruce. It, I'll spell it out in a second. They gave me this thing. God, it's been a few months now, and I use it this morning. I use it every morning. I will say about the best thing you can say about a product is when I travel, I bring it with me. And nice. That's kind of the Mason-Dixon line of, do you need this? Do you love it? Yes, I do. Sonic Wave technology, 31,000 movements a minute, 100 times as effective as brushing, and basically low price tag, refill plan. Three replacement heads every 6 months, just $18, and it's got six cleaning modes, and the battery lasts up to a month, and then you just recharge it. It's a magnetic charger, so you don't have to plug it in. You just stand it up there. They've got a travel case, and you can get 15% off of your Bruce when you use the promo code Adam at Bruce. That's BRUUSH.com. Promo code Adam. Get that 15% off. All right, let's see. Max Pata, what else? Oh, is LeVar on hold?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with LeVar Ball. And if I call him LeVar Burton, somebody throw a chair at me.
Yeah.
LeVar Ball, right after this.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
The fire was called Bobcat. And it burned a cougar.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have LeVar Ball on. LeVar has himself a show called Ball and the Family. New episodes Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Watch. And LeVar's with us now. Good to see you.
Hey, nice for you guys having me. Appreciate it.
Congratulations on all your and your son's success.
Thank you. We just getting started.
Yeah. Now I know your youngest, LaMelo, is predicted to go first in the NBA draft. You feel confident of that?
Oh, he'll go number one.
What? When is the NBA draft? My schedule's all thrown off now.
I think they said it's November 18th.
Are they going to try to get back onto a schedule, the NBA, or how much do you know about that?
I'm not sure when they're going to get started. I've heard things where they want to start at the end of December, and then I've heard some other people say, well, you know, we might be started in January.
So let's start with your background. We're talking about you being a Canoga Park Hunter, I think, back in the day.
Yes, Hunter, back in the day. Yes, indeed.
And so for those who don't really know, Canoga Park's just kind of the middle of the valley. It's about as valley as the valley gets, right?
Right.
And back then, it's heavily Hispanic now, but it wasn't that Hispanic back then, right?
No, it wasn't. It was kind of diverse on the fact that I've been bussed out to the valley for like the back in the late 70s. So I was already being bussed out there, and they were taking kids from the inner city and bussing them out to the valley.
So where in the inner city did you live growing up?
I lived in L.A. South Central.
And so there was a program that got you out of the city and into the valley.
Yes.
What was that? Walk us through a typical school day for you, like when you're in high school. Because I know, like, when you play football, I played at North Hollywood High, and I could see the school buses lined up at the end of the football field. And at the end of practice at 5 o'clock or whatever, I would walk home, but the guys who are being bussed in, skill position players mainly, they would be walking toward the bus. And I always thought, God damn, they got a long bus ride now. So what,
about an hour bus ride.
So what was the day like for you, like saying playing football in high school? What time would you get up? Where would you meet the bus in South Central?
Well, anyways, I would get up at 5:30 because I'm going to give me a good breakfast. The bus stop, they didn't take off till about maybe 6:40, 6:45.
And it'd be about an hour.
What happened is they would pick us up like on a corner of a closer to our house, and it would have like four or five different stops.
And it'd be
different areas.
Be about
so,
an
hour. We'd get to school probably close to 7:30.
And like football practice would end at 5 or so, right?
Yes. Right. And they would have like they would have regular buses pick everybody up at 3. And then the people who play sports, they would have two other buses.
So, it was two buses, the same with my high school.
It was two buses that would take the athletes.
So, for you, I mean, you're leaving the house at, I don't know, 6:30 and coming home at 6:30 at night every night?
Right.
That's a long-ass day.
Well, it's only a long day if it's not fun.
It's true.
Amen.
If it's not fun, it's a long-ass day. But like I said, after having football practice, and then we get something to eat, maybe. You know, we go to Pup and Taco or Taco Bell or whatever. And what time you shoot the breeze and eat, you almost home. And then what time you get home, if you're either going to have dinner, it's time to do some homework and go about your business, be ready for the next day the same way.
People forgot. Everyone knows Taco Bell now, but they forgot about the old Pup and Taco.
Pup and Taco, that was my spot. I'm surprised. Yeah, see, you understand that old lingo. Say, hey, yeah. I remember those days. Pup and Taco.
Yeah. At some point, there were probably more Pup and Tacos than there were Taco Bells. But at some point, somebody mismanaged something, and here we are today.
So, exactly.
So you're playing football and basketball in high school, right?
Yes.
And go ahead and brag about that for a little bit.
I was the baddest on 2 feet, like I tell them. Hey. Sometimes when you come watch basketball, you got to buy 2 tickets, one to see the warm-ups and one to see the game.
And did you think about going toward playing football in college versus basketball?
I'll tell you what. In high school, especially back in my day, we started in the 10th grade, but I just played whatever sport was in season. So it was never like, oh, I think I better play football more than basketball, or basketball more than football.
And
I figured whichever one gave me a jump on life, that's the one I'm going to do.
Did you always have it in your head that your kids could be professional players? Was that in your head before having kids?
Yes, most definitely. Like I said, like I tell people when they think I'm playing, that's one of the reasons I picked my wife. I mean, it was a lot of little short cuties. But when you find a tall one that has some athletes like me and with the last name Ball, what else they going to do?
What do you think your earliest recollection of having kids and have them be athletes? It's a weird thought when you're 23.
My earliest recollection?
Yeah.
Shoot, Friday, ninth grade.
Really?
Yes.
That's insane.
I was very good at sports, at all sports, from baseball to football to diving to track, basketball. I love sports. So I said, hey, my kid's going to play some sports. And the fact that I consider myself the big baller, I told myself I ain't going to have nothing but boys. So I already spoken into existence, and I ain't never had no girls, so I must be good.
Or Chinese.
Or Chinese. You got some Chinese kids?
No, not yet.
They're not big fans of the daughters.
Not that I'm aware of. So now, sorry. Can you hear me okay? Getting a little feedback. So where is the bounce? So I have a son. He's 14. He's not a big baller. He's kind of a no baller, and it never really turned into much. I loved athletics. I played a lot of sports. I always thought of how important it was, but I never felt like I could push him. Like I just felt like he'd end up resenting me if I pushed him. Is there some? Do you ever feel like you crossed the line with your kids, or can you push them as hard as they want and they just want more?
Oh, well, see, here's the deal. See, one of the things you don't do is you don't push them. If you push them, that means resistance. How about you guide them? You know, most people be like with their parents, oh, I'm going to let my kid figure out what he wants to do. Well, basically, he don't know what he want to do unless you give him some options. So you kind of leading him in that direction. Say, I'm going to give you a few options to pick from. Because when you just go out there and just try to figure out something on your own, hey, guess what? It ain't going to work out too good because you're not going to stick with nothing. But you give some guys some options and you start kind of guiding them in a way like, whoa. I told my boys this. In life, you're gonna bust your ass, whether it be in the beginning or the end. So if you're running all these hills right now and lifting weights and working on your game and look where you are now, youngsters that are millionaires. Or you cannot run no hills, just hang out, watch TV, go to movies with your friends all day and don't do nothing. And then after you graduate, try to go to college and find you a job, and you're going to be busting your ass to make ends meet.
Like
I said, you either gonna work hard in the beginning or work hard in the end. Pick one.
I saw a whole expose, must have been a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months ago, probably ESPN, on your youngest, 19, LaMelo, and right. How this kid is just a phenom and going to go in the first round. But he's played, but he chose to play in Australia, right?
Yes.
So what was that decision coming out of high school to go play in a professional league in Australia versus go the college route or straight to the NBA? Or you can't go straight to the NBA, right?
Well, you couldn't go straight to the NBA straight out of high school because they had that rule. But Melo was smart enough to see what goes on in the college, what happened to my other son, Jello. So it's like, nah, I'm not going to let him use me. I gave him Lonzo. I gave UCLA Lonzo. They ain't been the same since my son left. And all that was hoopla that was going on, being ranked in the nation and filling up the arenas and using my boy's likeness. They didn't give me a dime.
So he lives in Australia, obviously, full time.
No, he was just in Australia just to play basketball. That was only a few months.
Oh, okay.
It's not a big deal. See, you can pick Australia only if you've been around the world. And you've been to Lithuania and other places. So it's very easy to pick a spot that everybody speaks English and you ride on the beach.
Yeah, I know.
I can pick that being blind.
Yeah, I feel like if I spent a couple months in Australia, I wouldn't want to come back.
Exactly. See, but that's how Melo made his choice. He could have made probably way more money in China. Way more money over there, but he didn't want to go to China on the fact that they don't speak English, and the food that he like is not over there.
There's also some health issues going on, China.
It's very easy for him to say, okay, forget about the money. I just want to go somewhere where I'm going to be happy. And speaking, everybody speaks English, and you're on the beach, and the weather, okay, in Australia, it was summertime over there in November, December. So, hey, that boy had like two summers that year.
Do you have a wish for a team you'd like to see him on?
A wish?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I'd like to see him on a team where the coach is going to let him be Melo and let him do what he does.
Do you know?
It doesn't matter where he goes. It's just you got to have the right coach believe in you. And that's how any player is successful. They have that one coach to say, you know what? I think this is my guy. Because it don't matter where you go. Look, I had my other son in the backyard in L.A. But if you're in L.A., okay, we at home. But we got a raggedy-ass coach. It ain't going to work. Got to go.
I don't think they wrote raggedy ass on the program.
Right.
But I know what you're saying.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. So any coaches in the league, any teams with coaches in the league where you think would be a good fit for him?
Well, I know one guy would be a good fit for him, but I don't think they're going to give him a job. I think Mark Jackson would be a great fit for him.
But you don't think he's going to get the nod for a head coaching gig?
The fact that he likes shooters, he likes to run. And hey, another coach that would probably be good for my boys is D'Antoni, because the system that he likes to run, that up and down thing.
What do you think about the Lakers? What do you think about LeBron? How many years does LeBron have? I mean, he's still so dominant, but you can see gray in his beard now.
The way you can be dominant is, as long as you're stronger than everybody, as long as you keep that strength, you're going to be dominant. You're going to be dominant if you keep that strength. I mean, that boy's a good – you're 6'8", and you're still running, and you're playing the guard. That gives you a longevity.
Speaking of which, I'm curious, did you have your boys on some kind of nutrition? I assume you did nutrition plan, a nutritionist.
No, I didn't do none of that. I said, as long as you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you'll be fine. You just got to do some exercise.
Back to the basics.
People ask me sometime in training, they say, man, Vard, do I need a nutritionist if I want to lose weight? And I used to give them big ballers old scenario. Hey, if you've been eating two burgers, eat one. Whatever you've been eating, cut it in half, and you will lose some weight.
So for you, and we'll get the name out, the apparel brand, Big Baller Brand Incorporated, as well. How does that? Where are we at with the tennis shoes in your kids? Like when your son goes number one in the NBA draft, whose shoe is he wearing?
What shoe is you talking about? What shoe is LaMelo wearing?
Yeah.
Oh, LaMelo's going to wear. He's going to wear a Puma.
Now
he signed an endorsement deal with Puma.
Now, why not your tennis shoe?
Well, my tennis shoe, I don't have one created for him right now, and he wanted to do something different. So go ahead and do your thing, and let me go ahead and do my thing, which is it's not. I gave all three of my boys a signature shoe.
It's
not like I can't go make them another shoe. It's very simple to do that. And it's like you get guys that go from one brand to another brand. It's okay. But I'm not going to get into a big, ordeal with it. It's like, okay, do I have to come out with some basketball shoes tomorrow? Nope. I'm doing some other things right now.
I'm guessing there was a bidding war, right? I mean, everyone must have been interested.
Well, it's definitely going to be a somewhat of a bidding war. But how can you bid too much on an endorsement deal? That's what these youngsters don't get. If you don't have no ownership in it, you're going to get a little bit, and it's okay. You know what? Like I said, it's cool for them to learn this. And I already know, like I said, with my boys and the Big Baller Brand, it's a family brand. So they always going to be with me. So like I said, if I felt like it, I can go make another shoe for Melo right now.
Does Puma's not really well represented in the NBA now, right? This is their chance. So what they're doing is this is what they're banking on, your son. Yes, Brian.
Exactly. Well, they got to bank on him.
Please.
And the only reason you can bank on him, on the fact you got to treat him differently. Why? You got to treat him differently because of me. What guy have they ever endorsed already had his own signature shoe?
Sorry,
Plus,
Brian.
I'm sure you know, Mr. Ball, there's Adam, there's a cachet, there's a value, not just in the dollars, but just in being Puma's signature star. You know what I mean? Like Steph Curry went through this a few years ago when he was Under Armour's like really big foray into the NBA. It was more than the money. He was like doing Under Armour commercials, like even Michael Jordan back in the day. Nike wasn't a big player in 1985 or whatever it was, but Michael Jordan was their guy. There was a value that's worth more than the money.
Exactly. And here's the other value that's what it's worth. It's like I said, it's the ownership thing. Because it's not, I told all my sons this, and I even told Melo, I said, hey, let me put it in the right perspective that's probably over your head, which is you have no ownership in this. So whatever you choose to pick, they're going to do good. Whether it's Puma, Adidas, Nike, Big Baller Brand, they all going to go to the moon. Whoever gets you, whoever does what they do with you. But here's the thing. Since you don't own it, you're not going to get your worth. You're going to be cheated.
How's your wife doing? Is she?
Hey, man. I
want
to show you much love just on the fact that we're sitting here talking and you asked me about my wife. Thank you. I appreciate that very much, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, in this business, when you're doing other things, that's the last thing a lot of people want to ask me. They want to get me on the show and talk and stuff. And only the selected few, I ain't going to say the selected few, but some that come from their heart ask me about my wife. And I look forward to that. And I have to say I appreciate you. But she's doing better and better each day.
Well, I don't know what's going on with your wife, so I'm not sure what she's getting better from. Is she getting better from something?
She had a stroke.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, back in 2017.
Wow.
Yes.
And she's rehabbing?
Yeah, she's rehabbing. Like I said, she's getting better. She understands everything, but she can't get a lot of the words out real quick. So sometimes she gets frustrated because she was one of them people that you just couldn't shut up. Y'all thought I had a big mouth. Lucky she ain't here.
Is so obviously you guys are a team, and a lot of moms would not be as supportive. This is sort of feels like a dad thing, like Todd Marinovich's dad or something.
That's why that's why I consider myself lucky on the fact that I found a mate that's like me, which is loud, charismatic, athletic, love basketball. So it was always like a family outing us. So it was never like, okay, we're going to do this for a couple of years. And then she said, man, I need a night out with the girls, or I had enough of this. I can't stay in the gym all day. Because when you're playing AAU and you're with your boys, you might have a game at 10 o'clock and the next game's at 2. You win that one, the next game's at 6. So you're there from 10 in the morning to almost 8 o'clock. And that's, you know, 3 or 4 times when it's a tournament. So that's 3 or 4 days you got to do that.
Right.
So to have somebody to be as tough as me too, like, I'll give you a little story here. We lost a game by, I think, 3 or 4 points. And Lonzo had 40-something points. And they did good. But anyways, we ended up losing by 3. And I said the same thing. I said, hey, Cezanne Lonzo, you scored 43 points. We need you to score 47 points. And she was like, yeah, you should have had 2 more buckets and we would have won. She, you know, on my team. And the same thing with, you know, Melo. When Melo was playing, he was in kindergarten and we were playing 8th grade team, so in middle school. And wow. So sometimes he'd get knocked down being little, but most moms would be like, oh, that's my baby. Don't, that's up too high. She would be on the side saying, get your ass up. And it sounded funny coming out of her mouth because it looked like, oh, okay, she ain't going to say that. No, she's tough. So you could never, like say when we lose, she would never be like, oh, you guys did awesome. And it's just your dad, you know. She would always be on my side like, y'all got to win. And it was cool because she never had that babying concept, which is a motherly instinct because you don't want your kids to be hurt.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of thinking about this, having kids myself, and it's like I'm the one who's kind of pushing, but the mom is the kind of one that's coddling and then explaining I'm pushing too hard or right. Whatever that thing is. But yet you guys were on the same page all since day one.
Right. And that's why the boys are successful. Usually most of your talented kids are usually going to come from – Maybe a family that has a lot, but usually if the father's not there or different fathers here and there. And it's good when you can have both parents on the same page. And a lot of times that won't happen on the fact that either the mom is just home or she's home by herself, or maybe the mom and dad is there, but the dad is doing so much working on the outside to provide for the family.
What was your job, your profession, and your wife's as well when the kids, you know, obviously – You don't get paid when you're 8 to play basketball, and you guys got to travel and sign up. These tournaments, by the way, I've done it a little bit with my son. Like, there's a lot of travel. It ain't cheap.
Right. But here's the thing. When you make yourself so good, you don't have to travel. I just do the local tournaments that my boys play up so high in. It was like, okay, they're going to be in Ontario. They're going to be in Anaheim. Those are only 2 places I'm going to be at. And if you want to play the big ballers, guess what? I ain't coming to you. You got to come to me. So I do enough talking and say, we can't lose.
But what?
You want to shut me up. So guess what? You're going to come out there and get in the little tournaments that we in.
But what was your profession?
My profession was a personal trainer.
Oh,
like
okay.
I said, I made my money in the beginning being a professional athlete. And then after I finished playing football back in 96, okay, I came home. And that next thing you know, I got my own training business, which was called Big Ballers Training, which is one of the best things. And my wife, she was a PE teacher. So she leave at 7, she home by 2:30 and never had to do a lesson plan because you're a PE teacher.
Right.
And my thing is I trained out of the house, so I ain't never got to go nowhere.
Well, now
so
we
that
can.
That was the best thing, even from the boys growing up. You know, when she had the boys, Monday through Friday, you don't have to do no getting up at night. I got the boys, the babies all day. So we work together. And then when she come home, hey, now you can deal with them, make them dinner or whatever. That's good. But as far as breakfast and taking care of and getting up, you know, when babies cry late at night, I'm going to get up. I'm going to watch SportsCenter and MTV. I'll be up all night. That's fine. We work together. And it turns out where me being at home with the boys all the time, the fact that my job was out of the house, I get to discipline them my way. Like they get to crying, I ain't going to pick them up and shake them. As long as they ate. And they didn't use the bathroom on themselves. They can holler all day. My scenario was like this. I was thinking, if you can lay on your stomach and cry for 5 minutes straight with your neck up, You got very strong lungs and a strong back.
So it was a perfect storm. I mean, your wife was all in. She was a phys ed teacher. She had that schedule with no homework or lesson plan to deal with. She was back by 2-3 in the afternoon. You can now see how this plan was hatched. Gina, you had a question?
Yeah, thanks. You're obviously, you seem like a very strong mentor to the boys. It makes sense. I'm wondering about them being mentors to each other, all being in the same business and having the same passion. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, I don't think they're mentors to each other. They're just following their dad. And why are they going to follow me? Because that's what me and my wife instilled in them. So you're going to follow what you see all the time. So one of the things is, you know, people used to say early in their career, they say, man, your dad always, you know, hyping you guys up. I ain't hyping them up. I'm just saying how good my product is. And I call them my product because me and my wife had them. And then people like to say, oh, without your boys, it wouldn't be no LeVar. No, without no LeVar, it wouldn't be no boys.
Good point.
I think that's math we can't argue with.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, I made this little comment and people said, you know, they thought it was kind of funny, but it's kind of true. I said, like, my boys are like phones and you keep making one better than the next one. So whoever is the oldest is going to set the stage, which is Lonzo. And guess what? The only people they're chasing, Melo and Jello, they only chasing Lonzo. They don't see nobody beyond him. So they want to be better than him. That's why they're striving. But now if Lonzo was just a Rudy Putin, he wasn't that good. Guess what? Melo and Jello ain't going to be that good because they don't have nothing to grasp upon to say, I want to be better than this guy.
I know you're an entrepreneur. I know you know a lot about raising boys, kids, and athletes. I feel like you got a children's book in you because Melo changed it, chasing Jello and Yellow and Lonzo. I mean,
Dr. Seuss shit.
We got the makings of a children's book with your inspirational stuff at the bottom. Has anyone ever talked to you about a children's book?
No, not at this point. But you know what? A couple of people have asked me, you know, LeVar, you need to make a book on how to raise kids. Because I would definitely buy that book. Because like I said, all my boys were walking by 8 months. And everybody was potty trained by 10 months. Yes. People used to pick him up when he was little and be like, he don't have no pamper on. I was like, no, he wear drawers.
I bet you.
A lot of the ladies, like, in the middle of the day, I had to go to the store to get some stuff, like either go to Target or Walmart or something like that. And I would have all three of my boys. And people would come up to me and say, how do you get to walk with all three of them boys and none of them touch nothing in the store? They don't touch no toys. They don't grab for no candy. They don't walk this way. They just walk on the side of you. How do you get them to do that? Just training them.
I bet you if LeVar was the one who actually carried the children in his womb, it wouldn't have gone 9 months. It would have been like 7 weeks.
Yeah, you would have had them out in four.
Let's do this. Boil the water.
I never thought that Mr. Ball and Mayim Bialik would have so much in common with the early potty training.
That's right.
A timely Ball reference.
I want them to be kind of, you know, sometimes when you have kids, what is the main reason? You want them to be special. I don't think you would have them sometimes unless you have more accident. But, you know, we had ours on purpose. And, like, I want them to be special. So I want people to be in awe. Like, dang, that kid, you spend a lot of time with him. And let me show you how easy it is to potty train them. You get this little plastic potty. And what I would do is hold them on that potty until they do their little number one or whatever, or number two.
Mm-hmm.
They would be crying and screaming. But until they put something in that pot, I wouldn't let them up. And like, you know how kids get to crying or wake up in the middle of the night? At 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, I'll wake them up myself. And while they be dead asleep and put their little cold booties on that toilet. And they half sleep. Feel that butt and use the bathroom and I'll put them right back to sleep. And then wake them up first thing in the morning, put them on the toilet again. After I feed them breakfast or lunch, put them on the toilet again. So they get so used to that. And guess what? These kids at a young age, they don't want no poop in their drawers. They don't want no poop in their pants. They don't want to be wet because they're not used to that. Yeah. And then another thing is, I told my wife, if you're going to take them with you on the weekend, don't put no pamper on them, no pull-up pamper. What you do is when you go into a store, take them to the bathroom. When you leave that store and go to the next one, take them to the bathroom. So he won't get wet. But if you just hanging out and you want to go store to store to store without doing all this, if you don't want to do that, leave him with me. But now, if you want to take a picture, that's what you're going to have to do. And then she caught on to that, and guess what? Now they potty train.
That works with young boys. You try that with young girls, they go right from the porta potty to the pole. That's...
Hey, like I told you, I only have boys, so I don't know nothing about no girls.
Well, let me give you a plug. Ball in the Family, new episode Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook Watch, and also the apparel line. You can go to Big Baller Brand Incorporated.com. This was eye-opening, LeVar. I hope we can have you back and have another chat. And I wish your wife a continued recovery.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
LeVar Ball, everybody. All right. Let me just hit Tommy John, and then we'll move on to Gina's now second favorite guest of today, because I think she dug LeVar with that Mayan Bialik reference.
Ooh,
Tommy John. Always, I always say push yourself, right? Jump in that swimming pool in the morning. That's what I'm talking about. Just don't get the discomfort going in your pants. Real comfort. And Tommy John, that's what you need. LeVar should be the sponsor for Tommy. They should use it. Kids weren't taking a poopy in their drawers by 18 months. Come on now. Pull on those Tommy Johns. I start every morning with my Tommy Johns. And Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have converts. Breathable. Once you go in, once you go in with the Tommy John, you don't get away from it. Breathable, lightweight, moisture wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. The waistbands don't roll down. The legs never ride up. No wedgie guarantee. Over 96% 4-star plus reviews and over 12 million pairs sold. Best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee, right, Dawson?
Get that much more comfortable at TommyJohn.com/Adam. And save 15% on your first order. Save 15% right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. New York Times bestselling author, Oprah spiritual advisor, presidential candidate, Marianne Williamson, right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.